Welcome to Begin With Yes with Paul Boynton on Empower Radio, a show to help you create and embrace real personal change. You can overcome the challenges in front of you. You just begin with yes. Here's your host, Paul Boynton.
Hey, welcome everybody. It's great to have you with us. I always love listening to Brent's voice introducing this show. As Brent said, I'm Paul Boynton and you are listening to Begin With Yes on Empower Radio. Joining us today is Miro, who I'm going to read a little bit from his bio because he's got a lot going on at the same time. In addition to being a warrior poet, which we'll be talking about quite a bit, Miro is also a film writer, a director, a producer, an editor, an actor. His films and music videos have been screened and won awards at film festivals across North America. He also co-hosts Armchair Directors, a weekly movie review and discussion show on television in Southern Ontario, and online is writing a novelization of his first feature film. We're going to be talking about all of those things. I should mention, too, that he lives in Ontario, Canada, with his wife, Luana, and his dogs, Bear and Rolly. So, Miro, let's start. You're the first guest I've had that has had one name, not a first name and a last name. So tell me about that.
Before we get into that, I just want to mention, all of those past accolades and accomplishments. It's kind of funny because on my Facebook page for Warrior Poet Wisdom, today's quote, inspirational quote was, "If you are still talking about what you did yesterday, you haven't done much today." So something to keep in mind when you're amassing your past accolades.
All right. Well, that's a good one. Tell me about your name.
As far as my name goes, my given name is Miro. And it wasn't until recently that I always knew that it meant peace. In Slavic, it means peace. But that never really hit home with me until recently. Until I overcame a number of struggles, trials, tribulations. For many years, I've been working in the entertainment industry, TV, film, videos, writing, under the stage name of Michael Mercy. And I just went with that because when in Rome, do as the Romans do. Michael is a much more common, easy to remember name. But when I started writing my poetry, Warrior Poet Wisdom, which was 100% intended to inspire, it was, I never cared if I made a fortune off of it and got famous off of it. I knew this was a very different endeavor when I started it. So it didn't quite feel right putting the name Michael Mercy to it. I didn't want it to be another entertainment product from the Michael Mercy brand. This was really more than anything else I've ever done before, speaking from the heart. And so that's why I've put my real name to it. And I like to just keep it simple to, my one singular name, Miro. So I just kind of like the look of that.
All right. Are you still doing things under the name of Michael Mercy as well? Or is that like you are?
Yeah, okay. Yes, I am. I host a movie review show in Canada called Armchair Directors on TV, and it's also on the web. And I'm also editing some things. I do a music video from time to time. A couple things here and there.
All right. Well, I think that I guess a good place to start would be to let you speak a little bit about Warrior Poet and some of your work in that arena, and then sort of back up and talk about what got you there. So let's talk about Warrior Poet and what you're doing with that. I know you have a beautiful blog, which I've been looking at a little bit today, and the post today or just yesterday was about gossiping, which if we have time, I'd love to talk about that. But tell us a little bit about Warrior Poet.
Warrior Poet Wisdom. Well, that came about I started it in May, and I had written some poetry in university about a decade ago. I went to university for film studies, and I minored in English because I wanted to be like my hero, James Cameron, in terms of filmmaking. I wanted to write my own stories that I directed. I just didn't, I didn't want to be a hired gun with a camera. Yeah. So I took English, and I did write some poetry in university, but it was kind of dark, not empowering at all, not inspirational, just kind of boohoo, which a lot of poetry is. And to this day, I still get a lot of people who read my poetry, and they're surprised that it's so inspirational, positive, optimistic. Poetry just has this stigma attached to it, unfortunately. A lot of the time it's negative, or it's, you know, if it's not negative, it seems a lot of it is love poetry that's just the people are head over heels in love and they just don't have any sense either.
Right. There's a lot of angst many times, a lot of angst.
Yeah, exactly. I went through a really rough couple of years. I got hurt in a car accident. I got hurt at my day job, factory job. And with the injury at work, I wasn't able to do the job that they had me do. And I ended up losing that job and losing my house and losing a lot of materialistic things that we all worry about losing. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, what if I lose my car? What if I lose my house? I went through all that. And on top of that, I lost my health. I was in chronic pain. I'm still in chronic pain every single day. And then it just seemed like it was one thing after another. And my wife got pregnant and she had a miscarriage. So when I write about the various topics that I write about, it's not just that I've gone through the material loss. I've gone through the physical loss, not just on my own part, but you know, the loss of a baby is a very, very heavy thing to go through. Mm-hmm. And as they say in The Shawshank Redemption, you have two choices. You can either get busy living or you can get busy dying. And for me, I learned that the loss was an eye-opening experience. I mean, it's all within the power of your mind, and you know all about this. You have the choice. It's all up to you. Life can kick you and stomp you and spit on you and beat you down, but it's up to you whether you stay down or whether you get up. We all have the power.
Mira, was it like a switch going on, this awareness, or was it sort of more a gradual awakening into this new way of looking at the world or your life?
It was gradual, I'd say, because there was about a year or two of real darkness there. And I always have been a spiritual person. I'm a Christian. I've always believed that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And I had a dilemma because in my darkest moments, I didn't want to go on living, but there's no chance I was going to kill myself, because that's just, I always knew that wasn't an option. You know, as much as I lost, I was still always grateful for life and everything God had given me. So I really started to relate to Job from the Bible. Mm-hmm. And that book really resonated with me. And I saw Job as a guy who just kept getting stomped on and beat down, but he never lost his faith. There's a lot of people who scream at God and they're angry and they turn their back on him and they say, "Where were you when I needed you?" And I didn't want to be that guy. I wanted to be like Job and say, you know, if this guy could do it, I can do it. I, you know, it doesn't matter if I've lost all the joy in my life and mm-hmm. pain and suffering. I'm going to endure, and God will strengthen me. So I seeked out strength. I seeked out inspiration. And a few books in particular really had a powerful influence on me. The most of all of them, I would say, was Way of the Peaceful Warrior by Dan Millman. And that's why Warrior Poet Wisdom came about. When I read that book, a lot of people hear the word warrior and they think of the stereotypical swords and armor. And that's the whole problem. That's the whole problem with the human mind, is that we don't think. We just fall back on our simple stereotypes. And in that movie, the character of, in the movie and in the book, they made a movie out of the book, the character of Socrates explains that, no, you've got it wrong. That's not what a warrior is. A warrior isn't about fighting and death. A warrior is about love. A warrior is about patience. A warrior is about trying harder and seeing and recognizing the strength within. So that's what really opened my eyes.
Mira, were you using, during that transition, were you writing poetry then? I mean, was poetry part of the process of movement, or did the poetry start after you got to, I guess, for lack of a better word, a more peaceful or better place?
I would say that the poetry, I've been writing it at least one every day, and it's helped me just become more and more peaceful, stronger. It's something I just started in May one day. It was, you know, I had read a bunch of these inspirational books, and I just thought, there's something, I never imagined writing like an entire series of books. I just thought, one of the real keys to happiness is I think being creative, creativity. I believe we're created in the image of God, not just visually, but I think in terms of he was a creator. We're supposed to be creators. And that's why so many of us just feel at, you know, unease and unfulfilled when we are not creating. If we just sit on a couch and consume all day, we don't feel good about ourselves. But when we're out there doing things, creating, and that doesn't just mean art, like paintings or sculptures. I mean creating something, thinking something up from concept to completion. There it is. I thought of this. It exists. It doesn't matter if no one ever sees it. I made it, and I know it's there because I made it. That's when we really feel fulfilled. So when I started writing, you know, one poem a day, and not a lot of people were reading them back then, but I knew you got to keep at whatever you're doing. It doesn't matter if it's a diet or writing a book or making a sculpture or whatever. You got to keep at it every single day, and little by little, brick by brick, this thing got built, and more people started reading it.
Miro, how was this whole process? Because you've described some of the losses that you experienced, and your wife, Luana, was experiencing many of those herself with you. How was that? Were you both sort of going through this process at the same time, or what was that like?
Yeah, very much so, and we read a lot of the same things. Peaceful Warrior had a big effect on her as well. And she's really gotten into yoga recently too, which again, delves in the importance of, it's not just a physical exercise, but it's a spiritual connection with your body. Spirituality played such a huge part in it.
And if she were, do you feel like you're, obviously, you're on a path together, but are you at the same place, and do you sort of share the same experience of movement at the same time? Are you in sync, or is it a personal experience for each of you?
Yeah, I'd say we're in sync. We're enjoying a lot of the same readings. She was reading a book about by Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now, and that's just something I can pick up and get right into as well. And yeah, it really feels like we're on the same wavelength. It definitely has brought us closer together. Not that we were far apart to begin with, but definitely has strengthened our relationship.
All right. And right now, I think that there are two. First of all, I should mention that you have a Facebook page that people can find very easily. And you also have a blog on a website that people can, I believe, link to from your Facebook page. Is that correct?
Yeah, the website is warriorpoetwisdom.com, and the Facebook page, there's actually a link on
all
it.
Right. What has that social media experience been like for you?
It's interesting. It's really nice getting the feedback from the people, seeing the likes stack up during the day, and seeing the feedback. It's also interesting to see which poems resonate with people and which not so much. I do a wide variety of different topics, whatever pops into my mind. I mean, someone can be sitting next to me in a coffee shop, and they might say something that just inspires a poem. And, you know, it can either be a tribute to that person. You know, there's poetry like one I wrote called Modern Day Warriors, where I noticed people just in everyday life exhibiting warrior-like quality, like a mother struggling to push her baby carriage while she's holding a bunch of grocery bags in her hands. That, to me, is a warrior. And she's not complaining. That's what made her a warrior to me. She wasn't complaining. That's her duty, and she faced it with strength and resolve and courage. And then, like the gossiping one you mentioned earlier, that's just overhearing some people, in my opinion, being cowards. Why would you say something like that behind someone's back when you could say it to their face? If you can't say something to someone's face, then you shouldn't be saying it at all.
Mm-hmm. You, Miro, you write from the Christian perspective. Would that be true?
Well, a lot like Dan Millman. Dan Millman doesn't consider himself a member. He likes to say he's not a member of any religion, but a friend to all.
Okay.
While I do consider myself a member of the Christian religion, I also consider myself a friend to all. So I greatly respect a lot of the things that I've read in Buddhism. I just did a series a while ago about the, it's not a religion, but it sort of is, the code of the Bushido, the ancient Japanese samurai. There's wisdom everywhere, and I think it's really egotistical, which a lot of my writings deal with the danger of the ego. I think it's egotistical to shut your brain off and say, no, that can't be right because it's not my particular religion.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a Christian and someone starts talking about Buddhism, to say, no, I don't want to hear anything because it's not Christian and it's wrong and you're going to go to hell, and I think that's incredibly egotistical and closed-minded and not something Jesus would do.
Right. So I asked that question because I didn't want people who didn't practice the Christian or come from the Christian perspective to feel like this wouldn't have something for them as well. And your answer.
Exactly. And I know exactly what that, what they're thinking. And I have written some poems specifically about Christianity and Jesus and the influence he's had on me. But I know there's going to be people who aren't religious at all. And in addition to that, are actually kind of, so unreceptive to Christianity that is, or any religion, as soon as they hear it, they just shut the thing off and they lose the whole point. So a lot of my writing doesn't have any religious or even maybe spiritual mentions in it. A lot of it just talks about the strength within. In some of my poems, I don't specifically mention God by name. I'll just call him the creator and say things like, it doesn't matter what religious sect you are a member of, you were created by a creator and he instilled in you everything that you need. You don't need to pray to whatever your creator is called for anymore. He's already given you everything that you require.
Mira, if you were, and it sounds like you are primarily, at least in this phase of your life, sharing with people as a writer. Are you interacting with people with your poetry as well, or is it mostly available to people on your blog and through your books, which I know are available through Amazon? Is there an actual connection with people, or is it happening more through their reading your work?
So far it's just been responses mm-hmm. to my poetry, and I love reading the replies to the poetry because no two people will have the same it won't have the same effect on any two people, and I love it when people will quote a certain verse and say, this verse resonated the most to me, or this one over here resonated the most to me. A lot of it comes from studying people, so I really appreciate when people write in and give their perspective on it. It's all about, again, letting go of the ego, putting that away, tucking that away, and opening your eyes and paying more attention to other people. Because one of the biggest lessons Way of the Peaceful Warrior, one of the lessons that had the most impact on me was when the mentor in that book says to his student, the greatest purpose in life is service to others, not to yourself. And that's a big reason why warrior poet wisdom even exists. It's my way of trying to serve others, to inspire and empower them.
And Miro, would you say through your poetry that there are some practical suggestions that you're giving to people in addition to some of the bigger conceptual things that you write about?
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, I write on a wide variety of topics, and sometimes it's just something as simple as how do you get out of bed in the morning? How do you stop hitting that snooze button? So I wrote one about this little trick I learned that all you have to do is drink a glass of water, and your body will take care of itself. If you drink a glass of water in the morning, your body will think that you're drowning, and it releases something that wakes you up immediately. It's just like when you get hurt and you get an adrenaline rush. Your body is taking care of you and letting you get away from whatever is trying to cause you damage so that you can get away, and then the pain sets in when the adrenaline wears off. So there's stuff like that. There's also just everyday health advice. I wrote one called Fuel, which is all about what kind of food you're putting in your body. And I kind of made it a metaphor into the kind of gas you're putting in your car. And, you know, if you're always putting unleaded in your car, it's not going to last as long as if you put premium. Now, I know premium gas is more expensive, but it's a pretty good metaphor. If you put good, healthy food in your body, you're going to run better. You're going to think sharper. You're going to have a better attitude. You're just going to be healthier. You know, but if you just always eat junk and then once in a while you eat that, it's all about training again. If you just once in a while eat that really healthy food, you're not going to like it. It's not going to have as big an effect on you. You have to train. You have to make a routine of it.
Mira, we have like 3.5 minutes left. Is that time enough for you to read a piece of your poetry?
Sure, yeah.
Let's hear one.
All right. This one is actually the first one I wrote and posted on my blog. It's called Warriors.
Okay.
The knight fastens his armor and sheathes his sword and rides into battle against the oncoming horde. Swords and shields clash, and the warrior battles, till the life leaves his eyes and the death bell rattles. The brave smears war paint across his stone cheek. Against the enemy's rifles, his chances are bleak. But he draws back his bow, fires into the blue, defends his homeland till bullets rip through. The sarge laces his boots and slaps a clip in. "You want to live forever?" he barks with a grin. He bursts on the beach, unleashes gunfire, fights till his last breath amid the blood and the mire. The father kisses his babies and kisses his wife. He's off to the factory to make a new life. He works himself ragged to pay for their food till his bones and his sinew have all come unglued. The daughter cancels her plans to be with her mother, just a night out with friends. There'll be another. She caresses her forehead with a cool and wet towel. Mother gives a warm smile through the cancer's cold scowl. These are warriors who give of themselves and not for rewards to stack upon shelves. They don't do it for riches or glory or laws. They do it for love. That's the warrior's cause.
Oh, that's beautiful. I'm wondering, since that was the first piece that you wrote, if people buy your books, and I know the first book was called Peace, and then the second book, Strength, and I think the third book, I'm not sure if it's out yet, is Grace. Is that
true? That'll be out shortly.
Okay. Can people sort of follow your progression, your journey, if they read them in sequence?
I don't know. That's up to each and every reader to decide if there's been growth or if I'm just walking sideways here.
I think sometimes we walk sideways a little bit, and even then we're experiencing some growth.
Hopefully no walking backwards.
That's true. Or even if you do walk backwards a little bit, you can just pick up and move forward again. When you think of this path of enlightenment, which is certainly a journey as opposed to a place that you ever get to completely, at least for most of us, what would you say you're working on right now, Miro? What's coming up in your poetry now?
I think it's important to always remember, again, from Way of the Peaceful Warrior, to always remind yourself that the time is now, where are you is here, and what you are is this moment. Don't worry about what happened in the past. You're not that person anymore. And don't worry about what's going to happen in the future. It hasn't happened yet. Too many people sacrifice the future sacrifice the moment, the present moment, worrying about the future. And if you just live in the moment, if you are grateful for the moment, appreciate it, and do what you can right now, you will look back and be astounded at what you did.
I was going to ask you to sort of speak in closing to your Facebook friends, but I think you just did that quite sweetly.
Thank you.
So I really have enjoyed this conversation. This was, in fact, the first time you and I had a chance to chat, and it's been a real joy and a pleasure for me to get to know you, and I hope we can continue our friendship.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on, Paul. I really appreciate it.
All right. I want to thank Brent and Chris and all the good people at Empower Radio, and a special thanks to Miro for being our guest, and thank all of you for listening. I'll be right here waiting for you all next week. Have a great rest of your day.
I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong. I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong.
It's always nice to come home, but these days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over 1 million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home. I'm home. And I love it. I'm home. I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home where I belong.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.